Natural Solutions with Dr. J, your source for time-tested and cutting-edge natural medicine approaches to optimize your health, with your host, Dr. J. Sordian.
I understand how that happens. Well, I appreciate your being willing to spend a few minutes to talk.
Sure.
So you have written a couple different books, right?
Yes.
So one is Test Success, How to Be Calm, Confident, and Focused on Any Test.
Right.
And the other one is, well, maybe you've done more. Well, you did it. Yeah. And there's another one, right? Stress Free.
So there are two more. One is called Stressed Out for Teenagers.
Oh, there you, that's right. Okay.
And the other is called Stressed Out for Parents.
Oh, okay. So there's actually three plus you co-authored a book too?
That's the one with parents was the co-author.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Fantastic. And so your books have also been in other languages too, right?
Yes. So the Test Success book that is translated into Spanish and Portuguese for now.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure what else it's going to be translated into yet.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
And so you've done book tours and everything like that too, you said? Yeah, exactly. So the one of the things that it drew me the most was the for example, the Test Success, How to Be Calm, Confident, and Focused in Any Test. And it seems, based on that and the workshop that I did with you, which was fantastic, the three legs of the stool, seems that dealing with stress responses actually improved one's intellectual ability and ability to control emotions.
That's a good question. I don't think I could say that exactly, Jay. I mean, I think what I'm really onto is the three, subtitles, that's in three parts of the book, How to Be Calm, Confident, and Focused. So in terms of intellectual ability, that would be, for me to say that would be a stretch.
Okay.
It does improve as a person's ability to study.
All right.
To focus on material and to get the work done, that I could say with certainty, to be able to take the time on a test to really think about and reason out an answer, or choose from available answers, that kind of thing. But improving intellectual ability,
okay, maybe I was creating too large of a brush stroke there.
Yeah.
So I know that in things I've studied, stress responses do influence the brain.
Right.
And can cause, in the long term, it can certainly cause issues with memory. And they're saying that Alzheimer's is type 3 diabetes. Or type 3 diabetes is Alzheimer's. And so the cortisol produced by stress responses creates inflammation in the brain, and that can damage the memory and those functions. So from that context, that's sort of what I'm thinking in terms of how to be calm. Now, there are particular methods you speak about in how to become more calm, right?
Yeah. I mean, basically, the tools that I use are breathing and grounding and sensing, opening up senses.
Right. Okay. And so breathing is just breathing from the abdomen?
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Down to the belly and to the lower back. So it's a rest. It's a resting breath. It's a bit more breath like associated with meditation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Fight or flight.
And then the grounding part is?
Well, grounding means just being situated where you are. Often people get float away in their minds, into the past or the future, but they lose touch with where they are. when you're taking a test or when you're performing in any way, you have present. So grounding means really feeling the floor under your feet and also releasing physical tension.
So it's actually putting attention in sensory awareness of where you are and what you're sitting on and where your feet are and that type of thing. And then the third component is...
Well, the third component is actually called sensing. And sensing means, you know, opening up your senses, again, to being more present. So we have five senses, and we can use any one or any combination to actually locate ourselves more in the present.
Uh-huh. So, this... Obviously, there are many people who've tried this and who it has improved their feeling and their abilities to perform at the top that they're able to.
Right.
And that's both in test taking, but also you've worked a lot with people in theater?
Yeah, performers, stage performers, athletes, the medical health professionals, you know, people who are in high stress, high performance type jobs.
Uh-huh. And so these are three keys in addition to other things that you work and use with them?
Yeah. Well, these would be for calming down. The other tools for being confident and being focused, I think, would be too much to go into.
Sure.
In a short interview. But yeah, everybody, I mean, the body has to be in a calm and ready. You know, I would call it a state of readiness, you know, calm readiness rather than tension.
And that's for all kinds of situations to approach it and respond and...
Yeah, well, you know that. I'm sure you know that from your work. I mean, if you're tense in your body, it would be hard to really be able to maximally serve the person that you're working on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Personally, for me, working with other people, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think, and I think people carry around a lot of physical tension that they're not even aware of, or they're holding their breath a lot. They're not aware of it. So, for instance, you know, when you watch students take tests, frequently they'll hold their breath. Or their breath will become very irregular or erratic. And when that's the case, it's immediately sending a signal, you know, putting the sympathetic nervous system on alert because you're not getting enough oxygen. But people don't realize that. So they worry about the answer, but really the worrying may be usually it's directly prompted by just not breathing enough, but they don't make that association because they're not aware of their breath.
So this decrease in the, or this irregular breathing, then creates a upregulation of the sympathetic nervous system, and then that also creates a worry, kind of anxious response.
Oh yeah, because that would trigger, I suppose, a possible fight or flight response.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's when the person wants to, like, instead of sit there and finish the exam, they start getting fidgety and want to get out.
Yeah, get out of there.
Yeah. Very interesting. So I know it works in a lot of people with the athletes, performers, students in that type of situation, speakers.
Yeah. Also. It also works with parents.
Uh-huh.
You know, in my practice, I get a number of parents, and, you know, co-wrote this book for parents, that, you know, when their kids are all wound up, it's not infrequent for a parent to get induced into that state. It's like an induced reaction.
Uh-huh.
They start to, you know, the kid is crying or screaming or just basically wound up. Then the parent gets immediately wound up. So if the parent can learn to just calm themselves down, they can actually usually get a lot further with their kid.
That makes a lot of sense. Do you think it's being, I mean, not every parent, but parents the child being their offspring and a genetic connection there, do you think there's like something that's an energetic thing that they pick up on and then they start resonating at that level and they have to like calm down to?
I don't use you know, words like energetic because I don't know enough about that, so I can't really say. I think they're just very, you know, people are connected to each other.
Yeah.
And sympathetic with each other, and you know, they you could say it in, I would say it in a different way, that they sometimes mirror their children in a way that it actually helps the child. So the child, think of the child as initiating an action, you know, by crying or screaming, the parent may end up mirroring the child rather than the other way around, where the parent, you know, initiates a calm response that the child ends up mirroring.
Okay, so that's partly what that's one of the things that you do in your private sessions with people. Teach the parent to recognize what's going on and then to create a different pattern and then to somehow, I don't know, get the child to cooperate or to pattern? Or is that?
Just by being calm, you know, the child, it gives the child more of a framework, I suppose, or a space, if you will, to actually start to calm down and to see that that's a much more productive place to be than to be, you know, that worked up. So,
now, is that something that is taught in the psychology or psychotherapy settings to get parents, like if it was like a family setting where they...
I couldn't tell you. I can't tell you that because I don't know what's currently taught that way.
Uh-huh.
It's something that I learned and developed, so I wouldn't want to be quoted.
Sure. So when you were studying...
Yeah.
I mean, you had a PhD for how many years now?
79.
Since 79?
That's 79.
Yeah. So when you were being taught, was this actually stuff that was being taught, or is it something you actually discovered and developed?
I think I was led to it. I don't know if I would say I discovered it. I was led to it, you know, through my own clinical work and, them being and supervision and, I think this is something that, you know, mirroring is such a big subject in human development. You know, that's how we learn about ourselves in terms of how we're mirrored by, you know, by the outside world. So, you know,
If you're interested in finding out more about how you or your relatives can avoid dementia, buy the book Outsmarting the Dementia Epidemic, 7 Key Memory Care Actions to Avoid Alzheimer's and Successfully Keep Your Brain Safe, Sharp, and Sexy into the Future, by going to OutsmartingDementia.com. That's OutsmartingDementia.com. If you'd like to learn more about how to get an appointment with Dr. Sordian, please call the Redwood Clinic at 510-849-1176. And for information, go to theredwoodclinic.com. Thank you.